Will to the book of 1 Timothy chapter 3, 1 Timothy chapter 3. If you have your Bible, you'll turn there with us. We're going to look at the very last verse here in this chapter and try to talk to you a little bit about the mystery of godliness. The mystery of godliness. Notice there, 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, the Bible says, "And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory." This is one of, if not the greatest, one of the greatest verses in the Bible on the deity of Christ. I mean, it puts it right there, you know, where you can't miss it, and you just don't do it. And nearly every modern version of the Bible messes this verse up. They do not say what this verse says. You said, what do they do? Well, they don't say God was manifest in the flesh. They say he was manifest in the flesh, all right? Now, he was. But the thing that makes it amazing is he was God, all right? And it was God that was manifest in the flesh. You, if you open ASV or NSV or RSV or NRSV and NIV, all of them refuse to say God was manifest in the flesh, all right? But I want to say this, in spite of those perversions, God was manifest in the flesh, all right? He was, and the Bible refers to this as the mystery of godliness. Now, some people get all excited when they see that word, you know, and they think, well, it's something spooky or, you know, something that's still not settled. We're trying to figure. No, that's not it at all. The Bible uses that word mystery. It's talking about something that is in the Scripture that hasn't been revealed up until that time. And it's not a mystery anymore, okay? It's not a mystery whatsoever. It's been revealed. So if you think, well, I'm going to search that out and we're going to discover something new, well, it's already been discovered, okay? God's put it for us here. And the Bible gives us seven things in this one verse about the mystery of godliness. And I just want to look at those seven things, all right, real quickly, and we'll be through tonight. Number one, it's without controversy. It's without controversy. Now, there's a couple of ways to look at that statement, all right? Some would argue, well, there's a lot, and say, well, there is controversy because, I mean, there's all kinds of controversy, but that's only among people that consider themselves scholars. You and I that are Bible believers, hey, there's no controversy, all right? There's nothing about it at all, but they like to argue back and forth and establish some new claim to enhance their own reputation and come out and sell a book or something like that. Hey, but it's without controversy. But also I think we can look at it without controversy because without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. It is a great thing. That godliness, it is a great thing. It's an amazing truth. And it's without controversy because it's been plainly stated here in the Scripture. It's not hidden. It's settled. God said it. That settled the whole thing. And so when we talk about who God is, we don't debate that. We know it's the Lord Jesus Christ because he's the one and he's the only one that you can go through this verse and say that was true of him. All right? That was true of him, not true of anybody else. So it's settled with God, and it really doesn't matter what man has to say about it. We can get together and argue and fuss and discuss. We're not going to change the truth of the Word of God, all right? And just because some individual, just because maybe some group might want to dispute it, doesn't change the established fact that's been settled by the Word of God. I'm of those that opinion. People say, well, I just can't. You know, I'm bothered because there's stuff I don't understand in the Bible. Man, it's the stuff that's right there that disturbs me. I mean, I understand it, and we don't have to worry about it. And if there is something, by the way, you get and you read the Bible, say, I just can't understand it. Just keep reading. Just keep praying. Don't worry about it. It's all right. You say, well, what if I die and I don't understand? He'll explain it. All right? You can get it from the author. You can get it from the one that wrote it. But don't let that kind of thing bother you. By the way, if you and I could understand everything in the Bible, that would mean that, hey, we were on a par with the one that wrote it. But we're not, okay? We're not. And so we shouldn't worry about it. So the first thing you see about the mystery of godliness is without controversy. The second thing is God was manifest in the flesh. What do you mean? That means he was revealed. He was revealed. God fully revealed himself to man. From the time of Adam and Eve until our Savior was born and put in that manger, God had not been fully revealed to man. Now, his word had been written, and a lot of Bible had been written. It was there, and you could obviously, it talked about the Lord. It revealed much about him. But when our Lord was come and he was born here, it was the birth of Jesus Christ that brought God to earth, that put him on this planet. The Bible tells us in Philippians chapter 2, he was found in fashion as a man, as a man. And for the next 33 plus years, as that man who was God walked the face of this earth, he completely and fully revealed himself to man. I mean, you start to say you couldn't miss it, but they did. They did. They did. But he came, and man had the opportunity to see God. And not only that, but to see God in action. See God in action. We like to talk about the love of God and how great the love of God is. And it is great. But I don't tell you what, those people who lived with him got to see the love of God. They got to see the love of God on display. Not just hear about it, not just read about it, but to see it. To see it. I sort of like to see love displayed. I enjoy it. I like to see people look like they like each other, you know. I enjoy that kind of thing. I like to see people hug their kids, you know. And it doesn't bother me if husbands and wives hug one another. Now, if you're hugging somebody else's husband or wife, you better be careful, all right? I might want to look at that there just for a minute. But, hey, man, it's a good thing. My grandkids, they sometimes come and I watch them. They'll come in the door and they split up. And they go to different people, members of the church. Somebody said, that bother you? No, I'm glad there's people here who love my grandkids. Man, I'm glad that's the way it is. Why would that make us jealous? I'm not going to go around to you and say, now listen, you quit talking to my grandkids. They're mine. Good lands, what a knucklehead that would be, right? Man, I like to see that love displayed. Listen, God was revealed to man. He was manifest. He revealed himself. They saw the love of God. Hey, they saw the long-suffering of God. You say, what do you mean? Did you ever read your Bible and think about how did God put up with the Pharisees as long as he did? I mean, why didn't he just say, I've had it with you boys, all right? I'm done. But he was long-suffering to them. The world was able to watch him and see that. It was manifest before them. God revealed himself to man. All right, he revealed his love. He revealed his long-suffering. He obviously, he revealed his power while he was here. And that power was on display. Yet, many missed it. They missed it. They denied it. Hey, I don't know how you do that, okay? I don't know how that was possible. For people to miss and to ever think this has got to be God. You know, I've watched some magicians do some things and I thought, how in the world they did that? But I've never thought they were God. They've never done anything that I thought only God could do that. Never done that. You know, but boy, you stop and think about the power that God displayed in the person of Jesus Christ when he was here on this earth You think about the deeds that he did. I mean, from what we would call simple things. That beginning of turning that water into wine at the marriage of Cana of Galilee. A simple thing, not a big spectacular deal. Everybody didn't know about it. But the ones that did said, whoa, this is amazing what he's done. But man, you get on down the line and you get there where he went down to that pool of Bethesda and found that man had that infirmity for 38 years. Everybody in town knew that. Everybody knew it. And the Lord says, wilt thou be made whole? Hey, I don't have a man. No, you don't need a man because you're talking to God. And the power of God was displayed and he was healed. He was healed. Old Bartimaeus there on the road outside Jericho crying out to the Lord Jesus Christ. Everybody knew, hey, that guy's blind. They knew that. This wasn't a shield that had been sent in to fake anybody out. They had seen him, you know, for years. Here's blind Bartimaeus. They knew him, the beggar. But boy, after he met the Lord Jesus Christ, he wasn't sightless anymore. The power of God. And then those times where he'd take those that were dead, raise them from the dead. And nobody else could do it. And somebody, I guess, a couple of those times, they weren't really dead. We just thought they were dead. But that didn't work with old Lazarus, right? That wouldn't have worked for him. But when God called him, he came forth out of that grave. Listen, God was manifest in the flesh. Those folks saw him. They saw him. Hey, but that's not all. Notice what the Bible says. He was justified in the Spirit. Justified in the Spirit. Now that word justified here means to vindicate or to approve. All right? Now the world didn't approve of the Lord Jesus Christ. The world still doesn't approve of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not the Lord Jesus Christ of the Bible, okay? He was slandered. He was vilified. He was condemned. He was mocked, but it didn't change the fact that heaven approved of him, all right? Heaven approved of him. His works proved that what he did, that it was the Spirit that he labored under was the Holy Spirit of God. He was justified in the Spirit, and it was seen, though the works that he did, they were done in the power of that Holy Spirit, not the power of Beelzebub as he was accused. And even them, the folks coming among the accusers, they said, well, that doesn't make any sense. Why would the prince of devils cast out devils? That wouldn't work. He'd be working against himself. He was justified before man by the Holy Spirit of God, all right? That justification came his way. The approval was put upon him. Even to the point when he was baptized, and then on the day of when he was transfigured, the Lord said, this is my beloved Son, hear ye him. Hey, the approval, that vindication was there, justified by the Spirit. Then the Bible said he was seen by angels. Now, not that he saw angels. Everybody today won't see an angel. People argue back and forth. Man, I think I've seen an angel. I think this person or that person was an angel. Okay, so? Maybe, maybe not. Well, the Bible says here, he was seen of angels. I don't have to remind you, I don't think, but I'm going to. That day long ago that we're about to celebrate the birth of Christ, it was announced by the angels. It was the angels that showed up that night on that Judean hillside and announced to those shepherds, hey, your Savior's born. Your Savior's born. He was announced, that coming was announced by angels. But they were present during instances in his life. Look, if you will, in Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1 in your Bible. Notice what the Bible says here, right down close to the end of that chapter. Mark chapter 1 and verse 33. Mark chapter 1 and verse 33. Man, not verse 33. It's not at the end of the chapters, at the beginning. Verse 13, all right? Verse 13, the Bible said that he was there in the wilderness 40 days, tempted of Satan, and was the wild beast, and the angels ministered unto him. Angels ministered unto him. Hey, when he was tempted, they were there. They were there. They saw him. They saw what he went through, all right? They were present. They were there. But that's not all. Look in Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24, if you would. And notice there in verse 1, we'll begin reading in verse 1, Luke chapter 24. Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre, and they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee. Hey, those angels were there at the resurrection. Now, don't get the idea they were there to help. God didn't need any help, okay? They didn't have to roll the stone away. They didn't have to help him out of the grave clothes. Oh, he was quite sufficient, quite able to take care of all of that, but they were there as witnesses. Now, he was seen by angels. Then, if you will, in Acts chapter 19, Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. If it's in chapter 19, it's going to surprise me. But Acts chapter 1, if you will, look at verse 9. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Hey, the angels were there. They were there when he came, they were there when he left, and they were there on instances in between the two times. They were present, all right? It seems like the angels were interested in the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. The amazing thing is, so many people aren't. So many people aren't. Don't seem to be interested at all in the ministry of the Lord. We live in a day where they don't seem to be interested. We live in a day when a lot of professing Christians don't really seem to have much interest in the ministry of God. But those angels did, all right? He was seen of angels. Then back there in 1 Timothy chapter 3, the Bible said that next thing was he was preached unto the Gentiles. He was preached unto the Gentiles. Hey, the news about Jesus Christ being God has been preached all around the world. It began in Acts chapter 8, being preached to the Gentiles. And all through the book of Acts, but it didn't end with the end of the book. It's still going on today. People still preaching on that. God said that he chose to use the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. And I don't have any more sense than to just get up and take this book and open it up and try my best to point people to Jesus Christ. Man, that's what we need in this day. He is the answer. He is God. God still uses preaching, and he still has some preachers that are still around preaching Jesus Christ as God to the Gentiles. But he's got some preaching to the Jews too, all right? Hey, we're preaching that fact that Jesus Christ is God, and he came, he had a reason for being here. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. Boy, I tell you, we still preach him, all right? We preach him. There's nothing better to do than preach the Lord Jesus Christ. We've got problems. You've got problems. You live in this world, you're going to have some problems. But oh, I tell you what, you just build a relationship with the Lord that you should. it's amazing how your problems don't seem to be as big anymore. They don't seem to be as major. They don't seem to be as all-consuming as they were to the world. I notice what the Bible said. The sixth thing, he was believed on in the world. He was believed on in the world. Now notice, it does not say he was believed on by all, but that he was believed on in the world. What a blessing. What a blessing to those who do believe. What a blessing to those who do believe. You know, I get to this Christmas time of year, and this time of year when people all of a sudden get this urge to give, and they'll do something they don't do the rest of the year. The folks are out with the little bells and the red pots, and people will put money in there, and they'll contribute. They'll give to all these different funds, and not against it. Don't misunderstand me at all. But I'm going to tell you what, the truth of the matter is, you and I that have been blessed and we believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, that's why we were to live our life 365 days a year. Now, not looking for a red pot to put money in, all right? But looking for somebody. Now, Brother Smart, you'd have one out all the time, right? Said, I've got a red pot, drop your money in, all right? Yeah, sure. Jerry's kids. Yeah. Jerry Smart's kids, all right? Okay. Now, just try to help you, brother. We live in that time. But that's the way we're to live our life. We're to live our life looking to give to somebody. Doesn't have to be money. But man, just to have our eyes open, that we might look to see somebody in need and to give to them. And somebody say, why are you doing it? Well, because I'm a Christian. Because of the blessing I've got from believing in him. I've told the story that I heard years ago, Dr. Jim Vineyard preaching and talking about he traveling real late at night, and a fellow drove in with a flat tire, and I'll shorten the story, but he paid for the flat getting fixed, bought him a tire and had him put it on there and took him in and fed him something, and the guy looked at him and he said, why are you doing this? Why are you doing this? It wasn't the Christmas season, all right? Why are you doing this? Brother Vineyard looked at him and said, because my daddy is a rich man. He's a rich man. Now I want to tell you about him. And he witnessed to those people. Listen, God help us not to live a life of selfishness. Here we are. We've believed on him. What's it done for you? What's it done for you? Hey, this is a Wednesday night crowd. This is not the crowd that comes just to hear something new. It's not somebody just showing up to do their bit for religion. Hey, this is the Wednesday night crowd. These are people, I mean, usually the only people show up on Wednesday night are people that are saved and love the Lord for the most part. Hey, but what's he done for you? You believed on him, but what's it done in your life? What difference has been made? How much different are you than the fellow across the street or down the street? Am I any different than them? You have a different demeanor about you? Different attitude? Well, I mean, everything ought to be different. And it ought to affect us every day of the year. Every day of the year. Why? Because we're one of those that believed on him in the world. And if you're doing what should as a Christian, you're getting out and you're trying to get others to believe on him. So I want you to believe on him. I want you to know him. You say, why is it so important? Because I want you to know how good it is to have the relationship I have with God himself. With God himself. What a blessing. But then notice what the Bible said. He was received up into glory. Received up into glory. A while ago we were in Luke chapter 24. I'm going to go back to Luke chapter 24 and read some verses there. Luke 24 verse 51. The Bible said, and he led them out as far as to Bethany. And he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. Carried up into heaven. All right? Carried up into heaven. Eyewitnesses. Eyewitnesses have written about it for us. They've written it to us. We've got their account in the Word of God. They saw him go. They saw him go up. This is not some information they got from an interview. They saw him, all right? Hey, on this old earth, he was rejected. He was despised. He was crucified. I'm going to tell you, I believe there was a great welcome in heaven. A great welcome in heaven. You see, he had done the job he was sent to do. He had finished the job he was sent to do. He had accomplished it. He had done everything, and it had all been done perfectly. He was received up into glory, all right? Received up into glory. He was given a position there. Our Bible tells us he's seated at the right hand of God the Father, and he ever liveth to make intercession for us. He's got a job. He's our advocate. He's our advocate. Said, who was he? It's Jesus. And that Jesus was God. He was God, all right? There is no scriptural ground to stand on that says otherwise. The folks today that deny the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ deny the clear, plain teaching of Scripture. Because the Bible is clear. Look, if you didn't have any other verse in the Bible at all on the deity of Christ, this right here would take care of it. This right here would take care of it. Because it says God was manifest in the flesh. And then it goes on to talking about the same one that he was justified in the Spirit. He was seen of angels. He was preached unto the Gentiles. He was believed on in the world. He was received up into glory. Now, there's a lot of people that you could say this was true. A lot of people have probably been seen of angels. A lot of people have been seen of angels. But you begin to think about it, you say, well, preached unto the Gentiles. There's a lot of people been preached. A lot of people been preached. False God, false Christ. But you say, well, believed on them. People believed on them, yeah. There's people believed on the fairy tales of Joseph Smith. Believed on it in this world. But then it says received up into glory. Now you add all those things up, and there's only one it fits. There's only one all of them fit. Only one. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. He's God. He's God. And he's there in heaven. We're going to celebrate his birth here in a few days. Somebody said, well, how do we know he's born on December? We don't. But that's okay. Don't let that bother you. I guess he could have been born on the 30th. I don't know. But I don't see a problem with us if we can get people's attention drawn to Jesus Christ. Let's do everything we can to point them that direction. Let's point them to Christ. Let's stand for that one who was justified in the Spirit, who is preached unto the Gentiles. And, hey, by the way, let's keep seeing to it that he keeps getting preached, all right? And you can do some of that preaching yourself. You said, I'm not a preacher. Well, corral somebody one-on-one and go to it, all right? Just go ahead. It's all right. It's all right. He was received up into glory, and I'm looking forward to the day when glory's going to open up and he's coming back. He's coming back. Oh, what a great time that'll be. Something to look forward to. I'm tired of COVID. I'm tired of hearing, well, looks like we got another strain. Okay, good deal. People are huddled up. There's still people hiding. I thought to myself, you know, COVID, if COVID kills me, so be it. That's the way God wanted to take me out. But I'm not going to run and hide all the days that I've got on this earth. Not going to do it. Not going to do it. There's a Savior. came to this earth, and he was God manifest in the flesh. There's only been one like him, and there will never be another. And it's our job to tell people about him. That's our job, tell people about him. Heavenly Father, help us. Lord, help us to just rejoice in the fact that God became flesh. Lord, for 33 plus years, people got to see God. They got to see God on display, his love, his long-suffering, his power, his empathy, his works, or just everything. They got to see him.